Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Last night's moon was big, round, and indisputably full. A classic harvest moon for the Mid-Autumn Festival, which millions of people around the world celebrate, especially in Asia and including the Midwest. And observing the occasion, regardless of locale, usually involves special foods. St. Louisans Ray and Leah Ye have established a Mid-Autumn Festival tradition at their Maryland Heights bakery, making artisanal, Taiwanese-style mooncakes. These big, round, and indisputably full pastries are almost too pretty to eat. Just take a look at their Instagram page. But their mooncakes aren't merely about looks. What's inside them tells a story about heritage and care, and time and place, too. Here to talk with us about that story, we have the owners and bakers of Foundry Bakery, Ray and Leah Ye. Welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
It's great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
So let's start with the basics. What is a mooncake, Leah?
Mooncake?
Uh-huh.
Mooncake is supposed to represent the moon, round.
What are some of the variations?
Well, there are many different styles. The classic style is the Cantonese style with the oil skin, what they call the oil skin. It's more of a disc than a ball shape like the Taiwanese style.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with various fillings, and they're usually a disc or a round shape to signify the moon and a full moon, and also represents unity and togetherness.
Did you two grow up eating mooncakes as kids?
Yes,
Leah, tell us about the kind that you ate.
So in Vietnam, I grew up in Vietnam, and so in Vietnam we had the Cantonese style mooncakes, the oil skin mooncakes,
mm-hmm.
Which is usually square.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what was inside them?
So inside, usually mung bean, mm-hmm. red bean, or lotus seed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And these are not sweet, are they?
They're all sweet.
Are they very sweet?
Because of the skin, yeah.
Oh,
it's usually pretty sweet.
Okay. Yeah. And Ray, how about you?
We actually grew up more eating more of the Cantonese style as mm-hmm. well. The Taiwanese style always existed, but I think only through recent years, probably starting in the 80s, the Taiwanese style with the layered skin mm-hmm. became more and more popular.
Okay. Now, I've seen mooncakes being sold at Asian markets in
sure.
the region and at Costco as well.
Sure.
When and why did you start making them at Foundry, Ray?
So we first started with the taro one, which we have named taro globes because they are shaped like a globe, not a disc. We started making those because personally I love taro, and taro also is very popular in Taiwan. We wanted to kind of make a more modern version of it, to have really intricate layers of laminated dough, and for which I think we've done a very good job. I think we're the only ones that I've seen, at least, to have such even and numerous layers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that we're really proud of, that we've been able to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring that to St. Louis was one of our great achievements.
Yeah. So taro is something that many people might be familiar with in more savory dishes, is that right? Or is it something that is popular in sweeter foods? Leah?
So in Vietnam, most of the taro is used in sweetened dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And taro is a root, right?
Correct. Kind of like a sweet potato.
Mm-hmm.
But we do also use it in savory dishes. A lot of people in Vietnam and Taiwan love them in hot pot. And recently, through our customers from the Middle East, there are also actually a celebrated food in for certain holidays in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
which was a big surprise and something I learned just talking to our customers.
Mm-hmm. So starting to make them at Foundry, the moon cakes specifically, that started, was it a few years ago, right?
The taro one we had probably started in about 2018 or 2019, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
The other flavors didn't come until probably 2021 or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year we made a brand new flavor.
Yeah. So before we get to that brand new flavor, what is the approach that you all have taken to creating flavor combinations for the mooncakes that you are making, right?
So I think we wanted to have some classic flavors that we can find in Taiwan and rest of Asia, but we wanted to push the boundaries a little bit. So so for the salted duck yolk mooncake, salted duck yolks are richer yolk than chicken eggs. And the combination with red bean is really a classic kind of combo.
Mm-hmm.
With the mung bean one, usually mung beans in Asia is going to be a savory, sweet combo with actually stir-fried pork inside. We decided not to do that with and combine it with some black sesame paste,
mm-hmm.
which actually works really well. So,
are these moon cakes? Are they vegan or mostly like vegetarian? Because you've just said that you decided not to use pork.
So, well, the salted duck yolk does have the yolk in
oh,
it.
Oh, right, right.
So they are not going to be vegan because we do use butter, but they are vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't use lard or anything like that.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Have you gotten any requests for vegan items?
We have.
Oh, yeah.
Many times. It's a little bit hard with something that's has the layers. So we're looking into that.
Mm-hmm. So that new flavor that you have introduced, in the introduction I mentioned that there's a story of care with the way that you approach baking at Foundry. And care takes a lot of work, whether that is inside the bakery or outside it. So this mooncake selection this year features one with jujube, goji berry, and walnut. What is a jujube, Leah?
It's date.
Yeah.
It's a date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is this something that people tend to be more accustomed to seeing like in its dried form rather
yes.
than, yeah?
Yeah.
Correct. People do use eat them fresh, and they are crunchy like an apple when they're fresh.
Mm-hmm.
They're also delicious like that.
Yeah.
And they're a little bit different from the medjool dates that you'll find in like Middle Eastern grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
And they're when they turn red when they're ripe, so they are also called red dates.
Mm-hmm. Talk with us about how you found an organic U.S. source for the jujube that you've been putting into your mooncakes, right?
So that is something, it's sort of a long story. We created this mooncake because after moving to St. Louis, I had many allergies. And my dad was like, oh, you know, I know this great recipe for kind of to help with the allergies. So he made me a concoction of, and gave me the recipe for jujube goji, along with a lot of other traditional medicines.
Mm-hmm.
That helps with the allergy. And so we want to create something that's also healthy and has a lot of health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And so it landed on the combination of jujubes and
goji.
And goji.
Mm-hmm.
And sourcing that, finding a U.S.-grown jujube source was very, very difficult. Search online, of course, and then we contact many, many distributors. We actually finally found a farm in Southern California, which is they grow jujubes and dry them, and they actually sell, and then, yeah, they grow organically. And so we were able to get it directly shipped to us from the farm. And same thing with the walnuts. We found one in Northern California grow organic walnuts and organic gojis as well. And then actually that one has red bean. That comes from a farm in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm. So these ingredients for, you know, Taiwanese-inspired mooncake are all coming from domestic farmers and purveyors. Is that something that you started looking for because of what is happening around tariffs, or has that always been part of the way that you have approached getting ingredients for your goods?
Sourcing has always been a huge issue for us because we are looking for these really unique ethnic ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
We have always tried to source them domestically, but I think with the tariffs definitely pushed us more towards looking for it even harder. And we were very surprised that we could find these. I mean, it took quite a while, but we did find these small local farms that are growing these, and not just growing them, but growing them organically. And we checked their certification, and they, indeed, they're on independent websites that certify them. So,
mm-hmm. So how long did it take from the time of imagining this mooncake, which is a beautiful pink color, from conception to reality? I mean, how long did it take to test it and actually get it to the point where you were happy enough to put it out to customers?
I think we started planning for all the mooncakes beginning of the year.
Okay.
Because this is a big holiday, and yeah. So we started out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we were doing research in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. We were there late January for Lunar New Year, and we've been thinking about this ever since.
Yeah.
We really first wanted to do a lotus seed-based one, but we just could not find any sources of even non-organic lotus seeds in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to go with the jujubes.
Yeah.
And so that went into, we spent a lot of time. We also look for packaging in Taiwan specifically shaped and the way we want, and the tariffs basically ended all that.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent all that effort with no result.
Yeah.
But we're happy with the packaging we got now. But there's a lot going through it to test the recipes, give it to customers to let them try to see if they like the flavor profile. And many, many people, most of our customers are not even familiar with the flavor profile of a jujube. So we're happy that they really enjoy it.
Yeah. We're talking with Ray and Leah Yang. They are the co-owners and bakers of Foundry Bakery, which is located in Maryland Heights. And they have been making mooncakes for the Mid-Autumn Festival for the last several years now. And you will be able to get them through the end of this week, even though the Mid-Autumn Festival was actually yesterday. So one of the things, in trying to figure out how to get in touch with and actually buy ingredients from small purveyors, have you learned anything interesting about the networks that exist, especially when it comes to ingredients for Asian foods?
Well, we talked to distributors of Asian groceries, and they don't really focus on organic ingredients. And so it's very difficult to source anything organically within the United States. So we really had to rely on just word of mouth and kind of asking around. And of course, Mr. Google.
Okay.
So, and then, when we find one and we just ask them if they know anybody, and if there's an online source that carries a non-organic version, we'll just contact them and ask them if they know an organic. And then just, it really takes a lot of digging, just asking people and reaching out and ask random people that you can find.
Mm-hmm. So if anybody listening knows where to get the lotus seed domestically, they should get in touch, right?
Yes, please.
In bulk.
Yeah, in bulk. Foundry Bakery actually partnered with Yunhai Taiwanese Pantry, and that is based in Brooklyn, New York. You've done it for a few years now. And that means that your items have made it into the hands of people, into the mouths and bellies of people all across the states. And I understand that you could not partner this year because of the challenges related to tariffs and sort of the cascading complications, as Yunhai put it. Has that put a dent in how much you've been able to put out this year?
Yeah, I think the message hasn't gone out quite as much, and they were just so inundated with tasks that they had to do to source things from Taiwan with the ever-changing landscape of tariffs. So they didn't have time, and we didn't have time to really form a partnership this year. They were still able to get some message out, but it really didn't culminate in the type of sales that we had last year. So, but we still got a significant amount from the people who knew about us from last year, as well as just a lot of local people from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And we even have an order to Alaska this year.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So I would love to hear a story, if you have one, of people who have tried these mooncakes, people who've not been familiar with them before. What kinds of responses have you gotten from customers?
For me, the jujube, I don't eat that often, even though, you know, it's very popular in Vietnamese cooking as well. And I'm surprised how many Westerners, like, have been perceiving it, and then we can't make it fast enough.
Mm.
And they've been asking, oh, it looks so beautiful.
Yeah.
How does it taste? I said, well, it's a date.
Uh-huh.
You try it.
Yeah.
And then and they all, like, oh, it's very good. And we've been trying to catching up with making them.
Mm-hmm. So making these mooncakes available through Sunday, have you decided to do that because you have noticed like an increased local awareness of what you're doing?
Oh, definitely. A lot of people, just by word of mouth, they've seen it either through social media or just friends buying gifts for them. And you know, our mooncakes are really different from the classic Cantonese style ones with all the many layers of a crispy crust. So,
mm-hmm.
So then people have gravitated to it. And the flavors also are quite unique,
mm-hmm.
let's say.
And the last question here, what's the best way to enjoy these?
I would enjoy it by baking it a little bit to re-crisp up the shell, about 325 degrees for about 6 to 7 up to 10 minutes, depending on your oven
mm-hmm.
or an air fryer.
And these definitely look like they're big enough to share. So
it is
wonderful.
There's 6 ounces each. I mean, I can eat a whole one by myself, but sharing is caring.
Mm-hmm. Ray and Leah Ye are the founders and bakers at Foundry Bakery in Maryland Heights. Leah and Ray, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
This episode was produced by Elaine Shaw.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see
Time is of the essence.
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.